Stingy, welcome.
Morning, Samuel. There's a lot of angry Carlton fans out there. I think you'll be heavy on the navy blue this morning.
Why? How did they lose yesterday, Kingy?
Oh, that's a very good question. And now, what were they? They were 18 points up, 10 minutes into the third quarter.
Yep.
Against a team that are very young, still learning how to, you know, we're giving outs to Carlton about, you know, playing games together, shared experiences, developing a game plan, developing a culture, all that sort of stuff. These guys have done one-tenth of that at the Suns. There are no outs with this one. It's a horrible loss. It really is. No matter where you look, I mean, I tweeted out last night that I thought Patrick Cripps, not just last night, but over the last patch of football, it's been everything to this football club. I said that he's like Wayne Carey, like the one man driving the on-field standards, the reason you're going to win or otherwise.
He can't do any more.
No, he can't. And I actually sort of half felt sorry for him when the result went against Carlton last night. You look at his game, 30 touches, and a great spread of 15 kicks, 15 handballs. And I think he's getting more creative with his handball now.
Definitely.
He's sort of accepting that maybe he's not the best kick in the world, that his role is to win it and then distribute it. 19 contests, 8 clearances, which was huge, and the 2 goals. Now, that goal in the last quarter, Carlton took, and I'm going to get to Charlie Curnow in a moment, they took one mark inside 50 in the last quarter, and it was Paddy Cripps. So I think he was all things to them through the course of the afternoon. And I really felt so. I mean, Walsh did some amazing things. He's just tracking to be a superstar. I mean, the raps on him are spot on. His numbers are not too far off Paddy Cripps's, to be fair. But it was crying out for a hero in the forward line. It was crying out for Charlie Curnow. And I've listened to all the commentary from the key forwards and the lead-up forwards that we've got in the media, the guys that say this guy's world-class. He's projecting to be the best forward in the competition for a decade. Well, where's he been? Two goals in 3 weeks, 11 marks in total. Mm. 11 marks. Well, he was taking 11 marks in some games last year. 2 marks inside 50. 2 marks inside 50 in 3 games. You know, just kicked a goal on the weekends. Only targeted 3 times in the forward 50. You know, why? Why is he only targeted 3 times in the forward 50?
He's playing up the ground a lot more, isn't he?
But why?
Mm.
I mean, that's not working. They're not getting over the line. They're not winning games of football. So, to me, they've got to maximise their assets and their best piece. Why did Richmond have success over the last 3-4 years? It's because they got the absolute full-toed odds out of Martin, Rance, Riewoldt and Cochin. They play them where they're strong. They've tailored this role to Dustin Martin that everyone's trying to copy now or mimic now, centre-forward role. How are they doing that with Charlie Gurner? And if he's leading up the ground and he's taking a heap of marks and things are coming together perfectly, well, that's fine. But if that's not working, then where to now?
So they're 0-4, Kingy, with the Bulldogs this week. Can they change at the selection table? Would you still go ahead with Curnow, Mackay and McGovern?
Yeah, I think they're invested in those three. I'm not worried about the talent. I'm really not.
But the setup, are you worried about that?
They probably are heavy. They're heavy with Levi Casbolt in there to play that sort of ruck role or that relief ruck role. But look, I just think that I think Harry Mackay can do some of that, you know, and you can go smaller in the forward line for a while.
And they get Cruiser back this week, probably.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to have a look at it because it wasn't the fact that they targeted. What number 40, what's his name? Gibbons?
Michael Gibbons.
I always get that wrong. Gibbons. It wasn't the fact that they targeted him 3-4 times in that last quarter. It was the fact that he got outmarked every time. Like, he had to find a way to bring that to ground. But I know it should have been a taller player, and there'll be much dissection done on that through the course of the week. But I'll say it again, the talent's there, and that's the one comment I've made all year about Carlton, and they're tracking towards the same sort of year as last year. Albeit they can say we're in games and we're doing this. You can't be in games against the Gold Coast Suns with where they're at. That's a game you've got to be winning.
Should Brendan Bolton's job be under pressure?
Oh, look, it's early. It's pretty early, but I mean,
but if they're tracking Kingy, as you said, for another year like last year, he cannot afford that.
No, and it's not a decision for today, I don't think. I think it's a decision for down the path a bit. There's no upside in making any calls today or anything drastic in the next 10 weeks, really. But he would know. He would know he's got to get more out of this group. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, the last 50 games of his coaching are Mark Neal type numbers, win-loss rate. And you just don't survive. In the end, losing gets you. It's a winning industry, and as soon as you're not, you put yourself under pressure. Brendan knows that. We're not telling Carlton anything they don't know. I think their topic in-house today would be, are we getting the best out of these guys with how we're playing? If not, we maybe need to change.
Brendan Bolton spoke after the game about effort following the close loss to the Suns.
The playing group have got strong belief. Like, there's some good effort indicators, but that doesn't win you a game. Our group's really united. They're really determined, but frustrated as well. There's not a lack of belief. There's lack of belief when you're miles away.
But are they miles away, Kingy? It's been 59 games now. It's been over 1,000 days since they kicked 100 points. If you've got a united team that is full of belief, like Brendan says there is, and there's enough talent, which you say there is, what's going wrong?
Well, this is the problem. There's nothing tangible. We can't sit here and say, well, they're doing this well, they're doing this poorly, they're doing this well. I mean, that's you can give me all those words, and I'm sick of hearing about the green shoots and the belief, and we're building this, and we're seeing improvement here, we're seeing this. Show us. Just show us. You know, and the weekend, don't talk to me about effort on the weekend. I take organisation over effort every day of the week. And if they were organised as an on-field unit, they wouldn't have had the targets they had in the last quarter and the forward half. They wouldn't have had the lack of connection. They wouldn't have had the complete brain fades as they basically coughed the ball up time and time again, when all they needed to do was take one mark in that last 2 minutes and the game was over. Mind you, the umpiring didn't help them, but we're not going to give them an out. They should have put that game to bed a lot earlier than they did. I mean, you can't be 3 goals up against the Gold Coast and get rolled.
Yep. I think the Carlton supporters saying that the Liam Jones mark should have been paid need to remember that it was a point 5 seconds later, so they got the ball anyway. So it really, although it was the wrong decision, clearly, it had no bearing on the impact of the game.
It did. It did have a bearing. The control, the surety of seeing a key post defender mark the ball and stop the game.
You think it changed things?
It just changes the momentum of the whole game. Okay. And it just changes the psyche of the players. Yep. We're under control here. And he was pretty good, Liam Jones. He had a pretty good day.
He'd be leading their best and fairest just about with Paddy Cripps at the moment, Liam Jones.
Why did they take the mark off Harry Mackay when he marked the ball at the top of the goal square? That was a fascinating watch.
I think they paid a free kick for a hold.
Which was, gee whiz. And there was one paid at the other end about 30 seconds later or a minute later, which was just crazy. But no, they had their chances and they didn't take them.
If you've got a question or a query for David King, 1300 736 736. King is here for McCafe, barista-made coffee from McCafe, available 24/7. King, the scoring is down. We'll address that across the competition right after this.
Mornings with Sam McClure, powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. The all-new BMW X5, now at Doncaster BMW on SEN.
It's 10 to 10. David King is in the studio. Mark's on the road. Wants to talk about the Tigers. Mark, welcome.
Good morning, Sam. Morning, David. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Dave, just want to talk. You were there Saturday night at the game, and I just thought the effort of those young boys for the Tigers to go over to Port Adelaide in hostile territory. And I speak of Jack Ross, Sydney Stack, Shea Bolton, Noah Bolter. I just thought their effort for basically first gamers was just outstanding. It was a fantastic game of football. And I don't think we can ever undersell a defender, because we always talk about forwards, how they can turn a game in a quarter. But Dylan Grimes' last quarter on Saturday was just something really to behold. It was just something out of the box.
It was an amazing game. Sometimes you're lucky to be at those venues. The tension at the Adelaide Oval was just enormous. Shane Edwards captained that club like he just was on a mission to be the man that decided the course of that game consistently. He played on stars. He played on guys like Boak. He played on Rockliffe. He played on some of the young kids, Rosie and those guys, as they pushed up the ground. And he cut off everything. And then the last quarter came in a couple of crunch moments, and you're spot on with your call. Grimes was enormous. I'm not sure he was as great with the footy once he'd won it back. He kept kicking it on the full, turning it over, causing a few problems. But, you know, Lynch at one end just dominated. The young first gamer to come in and do what he did. See, it was a special win. I mean, no one's giving Richmond a chance. They're really not. But they're just going to operate on trying to find a way to get to 13 wins and see where they're at health wise at that stage. And who knows? Quality organisation, I tell you. The coach was so proud of him.
Yeah, he was a proud dad, he said.
Yeah, he was. He was. I asked him that after the game. I said, "You look like a proud dad." He said, "Let's go have a beer." But he's just got that team eating out of the palm of his hand. They love going to training. They love going to work.
Craig's in Montrose. Morning, Craig.
Good morning, guys. Look, just a two-part question for Kingy. Michael Gibbons, yesterday there was about half a dozen times where they just kicked it forward and he was the only one against the bloke that was, 6'57". How does that happen between the three tall forwards? Surely at some stage, I know they've got to play their zones and all the rest of it, but surely at some stage between the three of them, they've got to look and go, hang on, one of us isn't back here. We need to get back. And the second part of that is Michael Gibbons is a, renowned ball winner, two listed medals. And why are they trying to make a small forward out of him? Put him on the ball for God's sake and let him get the footy.
It's funny you raised that topic. I had the exact same discussion yesterday. Changing players' roles from what they actually are to something else is a really difficult thing to do. And I keep coming back to Adam Simpson, the coach of the West Coast. They tried to do that with some midfielders 2-3 years ago, try to make them half forwards or forward pockets. And they just don't have that innate scoring ability or the reflexes to know when to be in a certain position to cram or a certain position to put on pressure. And they want to get 30 touches a week. They don't want to get 12 possessions, 7 tackles and maybe a goal, maybe not. So it's a difficult role for these guys. I think it's a bust, that position at the moment. I don't think Gibbons is their answer as a forward pocket. And this is not just from the weekend. He doesn't kick goals.
He hasn't kicked one yet.
No, and his pressure's okay, but he couldn't bring the ball to ground yesterday. I'll say that again. That was the biggest problem. He had to get the ball to ground, and then the tide turns back into his favour.
Mm.
He can then do his ground-level stuff, and then maybe he can create a score. But he couldn't get it to ground. So to me, that position is not Gibbons. I'll be surprised if they're there next week.
Do they turn back to Alex Fasolo? Dean's in Tassie, wants to talk about the Pies. Welcome, Dean. Dean, go ahead. No, we've lost Dean. Dean, give us a call back, 1-300-736-736. Kingy, the scoring's down.
It is.
Alistair Clarkson lamented this yesterday. Are you surprised? You follow game trends closer than anyone, and a lot of experts deemed the new rules would make us score more freely, but it's in fact been the opposite, albeit in a smaller sample size.
I had a guy called Peter Higginbotham flick something through yesterday, so credit to him.
Peter.
He's talking about round four scoring, so only comparing round four to round four. So let's not, because you can make excuses for other rounds. 2017, average score 180, combined scores of 184 points. 2018, 160. 2019, 151.
Wow.
So that's a massive drop. I mean, that's a 20% drop in 2 years. And if you go year on year, it's 9 points in total per game, 10 points in total per game. So
have you got a theory, Kingy?
I'm 100% with Alistair. And I did say this in the Herald Sun magazine at the start of the year. I think the kick-in rules force you to defend deeper. So you start back towards the middle of the ground, which means you press back and you fold back and you get dense inside 50 entries. If you take the ball full length, they're the ones you don't score from. Once teams are set defensively, it's very hard to get through. They're so good at defending now, clubs, and that's what they train for. They've mastered the art of gumming up the opposition's inside forward 50 entries. So the fact that they're not allowing these guys to press up high, I mean, we saw out the back goals. We were worried about those 2 years ago because teams are pressing really high. If you got through, foot race to goal. We're not getting that now. So those goals are gone because the first 30 metres or 20 metres are clear air now. So we're defending deeper. So I think that's played a huge role. I think their answer, to be honest, I think the answer or the discussion will come, not the answer, the discussion will be a secondary part, and I heard you talking with Nathan before. I think we'll end up discussing that if you do kick the ball backwards as a play on. I think that'll be a discussion at the end of the year because the possession retention and slowly moving the ball down the ground is just taking minutes off the clock.
So a permanent rule across the ground.
I think we'll be looking at something like that at the end of the year. I'll be surprised if we're not discussing the backwards kick at the in the defensive half at the end of the season.
So that would play into the hands of the more skillful sides, would it not?
Well, it would make you if you want to switch the ball backwards and across, you've got to do it at speed, which is what we want. We want the game in motion.
Mm.
Or you take territory, and we want high marking, we want contests, so it forces you to go forward. So I think that'll come, but whether we're ready for it right away, or it'll certainly be a discussion at the end of the year.
Are you concerned that the scoring won't rise?
I don't think it'll rise. No, I think we've got what we've got.
Does that worry you?
Not really, not greatly. You like to see highlights, and highlights generally come on high marking and scoring,
mm-hmm.
or individual brilliance. We're still seeing the stars step up more often than not. The centre bounce 666 rule, I think, has flowed on into most stoppages. Most boundary throw-ins and most midfield ball-ups, we're seeing 666. And I think that's just a byproduct of coaching that they've adapted and so I think had the best interest of the game at heart with that. Not just putting numbers back or around the stoppage, but I think it's very difficult to move the ball. Most teams are going so conservative out of the back line, it's really becoming quite boring.
So there you have it. David King advocating, at least looking at the end of the year, whether kicking backwards would be play on or not. Your thoughts on that potential change? 1-300-736-736, 0433-98-1116.
Or do people like watching what they're seeing now?
Mm.
I mean, if you're comfortable with what you're seeing, and I'm not hugely against it, but if you don't like what we're seeing, that's the only change, surely.
Yep.
And I think it's an easy change to make.
Coming up to the 10 o'clock news, Kingy, there are some, I know we've talked about the bad story of the weekend in Carlton. There are some great stories.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about that after 10. GWS for mine was almost their best win, is it? As a franchise, the first win at GM HBA Stadium. I thought the Tigers and their effort, which you've spoken about before, was immense. But you quite rightly have come in today, and there's another intriguing side sitting there that are 3-1. Alan Richardson, we've been critical of him. He's done a pretty good job so far. What does it mean for him? We'll dissect that for all the Saints fans right after this on Mornings. Oh, Kingy, what have you done here? You've set the calls and the text messages alight.
I don't know what too much feedback.
Should we consider...
I'm a bit tired today.
Should we consider it being play on if he kicked the ball backwards? It's Kingy's idea, just to consider it, he's saying. If we don't like what we've got at the moment, as Alistair Clarkson, not to paraphrase him, but sort of alluded to yesterday, and the scoring is well down, we'll take some calls. Then Kingy wants to talk about the Saints, which I think are a fascinating chat. At 3-1. Mark's in South Melbourne. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning. G'day, David. How are you?
Morning, Mark.
My question with football at the moment, I've been to a few games and watched. I prefer now watching it on TV. I just find it's like rugby scrums. Like I went to St Kilda game yesterday. Your two main forwards, your memory and the other guy, I've forgotten him now.
Yeah. Bruce.
They haven't kicked a goal between them. It's now when it hits the deck, you win games. And you have a look at Greater Western Sydney. They're now launching, not from your half back, they're getting it to the wing, and they've got the best penetrating kicks in Williams and Whitfield, and it's nearly landing in Cameron's hands. And I think different styles are actually, or well-coached teams are actually working out what to do here, where Carlton don't have a set plan. You saw that yesterday. I've got no idea what's going on. It's how you're either being taught and how you're playing the game. And you have a look at St Kilda. Billy Slater, what he's done to St Kilda tackling and their one percenters, I can't be prouder of my football organisation because I was one of the first people to say, get rid of Richo. But they've gone deep and got people around him. And I'm just looking forward to every week. I'm just so happy what they're doing.
To win you back, Mark, I've heard you call in quite a few times and I've bumped into you. I know who you are. To hear you pump up Richo is a complete 180 reversal of where you were. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm like, you as an organisation, you go out and put people around him. And what they've done and got Ratton, Lates, Billy, It's just amazing. I take my hat off and I'm the first one to apologise to Terry's head. But as an organisation, you've gone out and got what your faults have been. And it's just absolutely brilliant. And it's like, Bassett, you're a genius. Because I can see my footy club just slowly building the foundation that we've been calling out for.
Good on you, Mark. Appreciate it. We'll dissect the Saints in a little bit more depth with Kingy in just a moment. Richard's in Doveton. Welcome, Rich.
How are you?
Well.
Yeah, I'm just, I agree 100% with Kingy. I was watching that Collingwood Bulldogs game the other night and it got to half time and I said to me, Mrs., I'm turning this off. It's garbage. They just kept kicking it sideways, backwards. Yeah, they've got to play on. It's just going to change it 100%.
At half-time, and this is not Collingwood's fault, it took two to tango. The Dogs had taken 70 marks at half-time. Collingwood had taken 57. The dogs are getting away with it a bit at the moment. Collingwood are getting piled into because they went on and won the game, I think. But only 13 of Collingwood's 57 were in the forward half.
Mm.
Only 29 of the Dogs' 70. So they had a better forward half return, just working the ball slowly forward to the top of 50. But it's tiring to watch. And that caller... I agree with that. That's me. That's where I am at the moment.
With Richard.
Yep.
Sam's in WA. Morning, Sam.
Morning. With all the talk that's going on, it seems that everyone's not mentioning Steve Hocking in all this. I mean, he's the main man who's implemented all this. He's made 9 changes in one season, knee-jerk reactions, and no one in the media or his ex, everyone talks him up, and no one... There's not a journalist that's actually gone with him with hard-hitting questions.
But he doesn't make these decisions by himself. They put months of high-level study into this. I mean...
David Rath, James Fotsiadli, the competition committee. They've gone about it the right way.
Steve didn't think of these ideas driving into work. Oh, look, I'm just going to make these. So I think it's impossible and just ridiculous to go after one man with these changes.
Agreed.
So that's why no one's doing it. But I think we've just got to have a look at the game as it evolves. Is it going where we want? And when you hear Alistair Clarkson say what he says, it's very difficult to argue with.
He says the game's lost, that we're lost in the game at the moment because we don't know how to handle all the changes.
Mm. Well, if he's saying it, gee whiz, he's the smartest man in footy.
Kingy, where are the Saints?
Well,
we all piled into them before they played a game.
Yep.
And I'll put my hand up as well. I didn't think they were going to win many games. And they're 3-1. And they won on the weekend without their best player.
Without a heap of players, without
yep.
Stephen Carlisle, Robert and McCartan. So they've had their challenges. Everyone's come for them at the start of the year, and Richo knows the importance of this season. We know there's a trigger in the contract at the end of the year, mm-hmm. and if they don't do X or Y, say it's making finals, say it's winning a final. I don't know whether they'll do either of those two things, but I think what we can say is that And it's on a little bit on the back, and Mark probably stole my thunder a little bit, but he's a passionate Saints man. So if he's saying it and seeing it, you know, the investment in Ratten, Slater, and the off-field crew, and I'll just call it the off-field crew.
Lade.
The way they've changed, you know, their development as well plays a significant part in that. The redefining of their trade and drafting. And some people say, well, they'll get back to the negative side and go down the Hanbury path again, but... That's a long-term investment for mine. I think Alan Richardson's done a fantastic job. And we've got to sit back and say, okay, what does that mean right now? And at what point will it become a discussion? Instability at footy clubs is the biggest killer. It really is. You cannot have success without stability. And it's brought many a club to its knees through a finals campaign like it did with Collingwood and Mick Malthouse years and years ago in 2011, I think it was. And we've seen coaches under pressure. Is he the man? Players feed off. Players can tell. Playing groups can tell when the club's lost confidence in the coach. As soon as he loses a little bit of power around the edges, you know he's gone. So it'll come to a point. Now, maybe it's not right now, but I floated this on Saturday, that there's nothing more Alan Richardson can do to usurp what he's done in the first 4 rounds this year. He's been awesome. And he's been upfront and honest with the members on the way through. I think it'll get to a point, and this is what I'd like it to. So say it's the bye. Say they're 50-50 win-loss at the bye. Why wouldn't St Kilda come out then and say, or there'll be a point, come out and say, he's our man, he's going to see his contract out. And I think when we get to that stage, you'll see the very best of this team, because they go again. You get a bit of an emotional lift from the coach being endorsed by the club. And I think we'll get to that point pretty soon.
So, Kingy, the obvious retort to that would be, why would they need to do it? But you've sort of answered that in your initial statement, which would be, it would be a great fillip for the club, and you think it could actually spur them on further.
I do. And I just think it's all about doing it together. You know, you see what Richmond did after they endorsed Damien Hardwick, you know, and he was on a knife's edge as well. You know, what's happened at Collingwood with Nathan Buckley? I'm not saying they're going to win the flag, but we don't know where the premiers are coming from. We've got no idea when you look at the last 3 years. No idea. But you just see teams jumping up. And sometimes you've got to say, you know what, maybe we got this one wrong in the off-season with Richo. Maybe we were too quick to come at him. It's always going to be a big year. They had a poor year last year. By their own admission, haven't hid from that. I think it'll get to a point where the Saints have to come out and say, okay, let's let him fulfil his contract.
Do you see them, Kingy's, playing particularly differently to last year?
Oh, miles different, heaps different. They're basically not – last year was about fast footy and fast turnovers, and that's why they leak so heavily. They couldn't you can't defend a fast turnover, no matter who you got down there. So it was ugly to watch. And at times it can look like there's no real system. It's just go and play, boys. Go fast. Take them on. They went for pressure in the midfield, which means you're investing numbers in the middle of the ground, not necessarily defending your forward half. Tackle pressure in their forward half's gone through the roof. So they're playing a more sustainable brand, a brand that's not self-defeating.
Would that be a huge impact from Brett Ratton?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you, as a coach, what's your role? Is to fill the holes where maybe you're poor. I mean, if you want to man manage and be the overarching manager, soccer style, of a football club, get the best people you can underneath you. The people are going to challenge you and challenge the system, challenge what you're doing, and they've reinvented. I mean, I think it's just a mature approach to Alan Richardson saying, okay, I'm going to reattach to the playing group. I'm going to get to know these guys one-on-one, and I'm going to hand the tactical side of things to this person or this department, and a lot of coaches do that. We just don't hear about it.
Mm. It is strangely, Kingy, self-fulfilling how the conversation turns on its head depending on form and results. So before the year even started, it was, how are the Saints going to go without Carlisle, without Roberton, without Hanbury? We don't know what's happening with Stephen. Now, all of a sudden, after the good start, the conversation turns to, well, what does a fully fit Jack Stephen coming into this side look like? And what happens if they get Hanbury up and running to 60% of what he was when he was an All-Australian for Sydney? I mean, these are positives now for the Saints if they can somehow maintain the work rate.
Their structure and their predictability, they all know it. It allows the individual talent to be its best. We're seeing the best of Billings now. We're seeing the best of Gresham. Because these youngsters, they just, okay, this is clear to me what I have to do, what my role is. They've been asked to do more, and they're delivering.
David King is in studio. More on Mornings, all thanks to Doncaster BMW, right after this. Sports news coming out of areas wherever we look. You think about Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Can't believe he pulled that off, King. You and I were both up at 2:30 in the morning trying to watch it and trying to stay awake. The Australia's World Cup squad has been announced. We'll touch base with Jared Waitley shortly, but Peter Hanscom and Josh Hazlewood have both missed out. So they're both out. Just quickly, the World Cup squad. Finch, Berendorf, Carey, the wicketkeeper, Coulter, Nile, Cummins, Khawaja, Lyon, Sean Marsh, Maxwell, Jai Richardson, Smith, Stark, Stoinis, Warner and Zampa. So the obvious headline is that Warner and Smith are both back from that year-long exile. And I've noticed that Wallabies coach Michael Checker has just confirmed that he will not be picking Israel Folau anymore. Two issues we'll be talking about before the morning is up. But Kingy's in talking all things footy. The Giants, what a win it was at GMHBA Stadium. Kingy?
Unreal. Great performance. One of the real special wins over the last couple of years. And you can't just brush through this one. They played the perfect game. If you allow Geelong to intercept Mark, they just control the game, particularly down there.
Mm.
They took 7 intercept marks in the first quarter of the Cats, 12 for the rest of the game. They found a way to just pierce through them.
Without Callan Ward as well, early.
Take the obvious target, reel and go. All their stars had 30-plus, Canelio, Kelly, Hopper, Whitfield. Oh, my God, what a player.
Has he gone to the next level for you, King?
He's blown through two levels, I reckon. He's just been awesome. His kicking embarrasses the best in our competition at the moment. It really does. I mean, some of the absolute top liners, the guys that we all rate in the top five in the comp, can't kick. They have trouble with their kicking efficiency, whether it be hitting a target or kicking a goal. But this guy, he's a star for the absolute opposite reasons. But he's getting a heap of footy as well. So he's been awesome to watch. In that third quarter, they kicked six goals, four from 11 inside 50 entries. I mean, that is as pure as you get against a really good defence. The Cats are a serious defence. Chris Scott said after the game that, you know, they started well. They probably took control the first 20 minutes and then GWS just owned them after that. And the scoreboard probably flattered them at points throughout the day. But they just had them. Finlayson going forward's been a masterstroke, 8 goals in 2 weeks. So that looks really set down there. You never see him competing with Cameron. It's a really good mix.
So Whitfield's out of contract at the end of next year.
Here we go again.
No. I just want to sort of compare, because I'm with you on the levels that he's gone to, because Kelly and Cornelio are both out and the club's really confident of keeping them. Has Whitfield joined them at that level, do you think, Kingy?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Cornelio's a different sort of player because he wins it inside.
Well, the three of them are different sort of players, aren't they, in a way?
I think Kelly and Whitfield are pretty similar.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think Whitfield's clearly more damaging. His ball use is far better than Kelly's.
Wow.
Kelly's a longer user. He's a stylish user, but not as effective as Whitfield. Nowhere near it. I'll throw one at you. The mark of Harry Himmelberg on the weekend, coming back with the flight, everyone will vote Crozier's mark from the Western Bulldogs as mark of the week. That mark of Harry Himmelberg should be mark of the week.
I completely agree.
There isn't a player in the competition that doesn't want to be that player taking that style of mark.
Yep.
And I think the fans just seriously appreciate how tough these guys are. When you see what's happened to some of the stars on the weekend, and we'll touch on Callum Ward in a sec, but you can also talk about Chris Mayne, Fife the week before, just the fearless approach that they have and the reckless approach for their own safety sometimes. And you look at Harry Himmelberg's mark, and I'm straight away thinking of Nick Riewoldt, Jonathan Brown style. You know, just come back, throw yourself in there. Anything could have happened there. It was a car crash. Takes the mark. Has to be mark of the week for me.
It did just give shades of that mark. I think it was at 06, Riewoldt at the SCG against Sydney. I mean, I know they were different, but the game is as tough as it ever has been, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. The players are bigger. They're all muscle. There's no give. They're coming faster than they ever have. And once you're in traffic, you're in serious traffic. Mm. So I think that's got to be mark of the week for me. I want to talk about Callum Ward and just how he now impacts.
Mm.
You know, the loss of Ward. Because I keep going back to 2016, that prelim final. I think it was the concussion that stopped the GWS from being premiers.
No doubt. And people at the club would never say that publicly, but would agree with that statement.
He was the one player that just did so much for them and set the standards. And he's done that right throughout his career. I don't think he's the one midfielder that hadn't missed a game of home and away football since the start of 2015 until this start of this season.
Wow.
So he's just been there all the time. We haven't really seen the Giants without him. So it'll be a fascinating watch. He's just good for 28, 29 disposals a week. They're all tough. They're all pure. He's a very good kick. He's a great distributor of the footy. So it's a huge hole. It's a big loss to a team that have already had a few of those midfield stars exit the place over the last 12 months. So I feel for him. But the scenes of him, you very rarely get choked up in footy. You've pretty much seen most things. But when he put his head in his hands and was outwardly and openly crying on the weekend, it got me.
Got Phil Davis as well, who addressed the situation, the co-captain.
The thing about footy is it's all consuming. It's such a big part of your life. And when you realise that you're not going to do it for 12 months, it can hit you right between the eyes. And that's what Cal went through. But that was the mark of the man right there. His ability to smile and embrace the boys, unbelievable. And he's the heart and blood of the club.
Heart and blood of the club. He certainly is. It'll be fascinating to see how they deal with him. As you said, Kingy, before we let you go, two teams I want to ask you about, and for very different reasons. One Adelaide and one Melbourne. How big are the problems at Adelaide, given that Don Pike sent a strong message by dropping Bryce Gibbs?
Yeah, a message that didn't ultimately didn't work.
Do you think it was a wrong decision?
Well, I look at the style of player they've got in the middle. The two Crouch brothers, Rory Sloane, they bring in Alice Yeoman this week, dropping Gibbs, as you said. They get smashed in clearances. So if the message is we're not tough enough, they got assaulted in there. 31-19 from the Kangaroos, who hadn't had a great start. They'd been on the rack themselves. 12-5 at centre bounces. I mean, that just gives up so much territory. It makes it so hard to go full length of the ground. I think it's time for change to that mix, definitely. I just think they've got to stop putting those three magnets in particular, the two Crouch boys and Sloane, in at centre bounces just pretty much 100% of the time. They've got to look at other avenues now. They've got to have maybe...
Have they got other avenues?
Well, they've got to try. They've got to experiment. And maybe a Miller has to go in there, or Brody Smith has to go in there for a while. Get some excitement going. Eddie Bex needs some sort of spark. Get him in there for a while. See if you can ignite a midfield that's clearly failing. And everyone talks about the forwards. The way they play, their halfbacks have to ignite and have to play super quick. And it almost has to bypass their midfield and get into their forward line. 36 inside 50s, you're just not going to win many games with that sort of volume. Two goals in the second half.
Mm.
Two goals. This is a team that's kicked 100 points, over 100 points consistently for 3 years. So they're a bit ho-hum for me in the midfield, and they've got to sort it out.
Were you excited by what you saw from the Demons, or were you more concerned about the way the Swans stopped?
Yeah, look, take the positive. I think the D's were very good in the second half. I just think every team needs a Bruce. Every team needs someone who's prepared to intimidate. The threat of sort of wanting to hurt people is still there.
So it's the Shane Mumford effect, isn't it, from 2-3 years ago?
Do you agree that every team needs a Bruce?
Absolutely, 100%.
He was awesome in terms of his output in the first quarter. I think he kicked two goals early. One from outside 50, which I didn't know that he had in him, but just his want to throw himself around, the presence in the area, I think it helped Max be able to play that role, that natural role of rolling back to assist a failing back six. So everything they did, all the alterations they made, seemed to work in that second half. Now, it took a while to get going, but the Swans looked off. They looked slow. They looked really slow on the weekend. So they've got some work to do, but I think they've clearly addressed the fact that they may have to go back a step to come forward again. They'll never publicly say that because they don't want their players thinking there's any outs. They've got to perform every time they front up. But
asked John Longmire that, I reckon, two Saturdays ago on crunch time.
Yeah,
he's never going to admit that.
No, he's not. I'll keep asking him, but he's not going to say it publicly. Maybe down the track he will, but I don't think for a while. Not while they're still in the fight. I asked him if he was recalibrating like Alistair Clarkson did. He didn't really want to answer the question. He gave me a couple of clips, actually. So.
Kingy, thanks for coming in.
Good on you, mate. See you soon.
David King here for McCafe. Need a delicious barista-made coffee? McCafe has got you covered. They're open 24/7. Now it's time to get to news headlines with Meredith, and we'll touch base with Jared Waitley. The World Cup squad has dropped. We'll tell you who's in and who's out.